New Dissident Radio.
Hi, it's Listen Jake Johansson, and you're listening to The Angry Atheists. What?
It's ardent.
Well, right, but I did the show, so I know what it is. It's angry. They're angry.
Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my producer, Heather Henderson. You know Heather.
Hi, I was doing some hello.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from somewhere, but where?
Where?
You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com. If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Heather during the show, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might take some of your questions and use your statements in the live broadcast, so join Heather there now. After the show, we'll be going to Toy on Sunset, so if you'd like to join us, please do. If you're wanting to come down and argue why you believe in God, please do not come to Toy on Sunset just to proselytize, you dick. Our guests in the studio today are Ryan Stout, John Ross, and John Wing. You know these guys from Showbiz. Thanks, guys, for being here. Thanks for
having me. Thank you. I didn't know we were going to Thai food afterward. That's
you're welcome.
That's a new surprise.
Absolutely.
Are they the new sponsor?
No, they are not. Oh. It's my favorite place to eat.
I love it there.
Yeah. Who is the new sponsor?
We'll get to the new sponsor.
Okay.
Audible.com.
We don't want to blow our load.
Audible.com.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you. What is it?
Yeah. Audible. Hello! With the first joke right out of the gate. All right. John Wing. Winging them. Anyway. We only have a couple rules on the big show. Rule number one:
crying out loud.
As a stoned hippie chick I met at Burning Man once told me, you can plug anything you want as long as it feels natural. And if you're a listener, rule number two: who is ever offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you insipid cunt. Sorry.
Nothing.
So the alienating atheist.
I got the feeling you were talking to one person.
My mom.
You know who you are.
Disturbing inner monologue.
So anyway, guys, welcome and thank you very much for being here. I know that guys like you, all of you, get so many requests to come and do shit like this, and
we accept all of them.
I just can't thank you enough.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is requests. The highlight of my day.
I have always taken requests.
Well, I want to start, Ryan Stout.
Yeah, sure. Let's start.
I want to start with congratulations, man.
On what
your
did I do?
Fantastic appearance last week.
Yes.
On Conan.
Oh, thanks, man.
You just fucking rocked it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that only took 10 years.
Really?
So,
right. That wasn't your debut. Was that your network debut?
Well, it's not a network. TBS is cable television.
Fuck me.
So,
10 years to get on TBS.
Yeah, that's right. I've been told over and over and over by late night bookers, yeah, we like him, but he's just... yeah, you could say those words on TV, but not in that order. You can't. He's implying that we just...
So did you change your nigger cunt bit to cunt nigger?
I did.
Good call.
And took out all the child molestation and, you know, just fought with S&P for a while. And finally, I was able to get some jokes on cable television that have even already been on cable television. But I had to make some changes.
Ah, nice. Wait, you're stealing jokes?
No.
Oh, I see.
His own.
Right. Bits that I did on Comedy Central, I submitted to TBS, and they're like, no, you can't say children missing parts.
Really? Children missing parts? Was that one of them?
You have to say they're ugly children or something.
What else?
That was most of it. They, I mean, I submitted a lot of jokes, and then I just, you know, whatever they were willing to go with, I was like, okay, yeah, well, we'll just do those.
Right, let me
do the show.
Right. Well, I thought it was a really good appearance.
Thank you.
I was really proud to see
you. I would have been suicidal had it not gone well.
Right?
Had we had all this build up to finally getting a spot.
We're all
it doesn't
grizzled.
Go well.
We're all grizzled comics. Who are the worst sets ever? Who do we know?
The worst sets on
on any shows.
I did a pretty bad one on the Tonight Show.
John Wayne,
a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It went badly?
Oh boy.
Talk about it.
How come? Is that when you stop believing in God?
It was close to around that time. No, well, there's a rule in doing a set on television. If you have a joke with a tag, if the joke gets a laugh, cut the tag.
Right.
Pardon me, if the joke gets applause.
It's applause, right.
If the joke gets applause, you should cut the tag.
You
okay.
didn't cut the tag.
No, no. I forgot the corollary to the rule, which is if the joke bombs, cut the tag.
And the callback.
So I had a joke with three tags.
Yeah. And you just shoved it down the audience's throat.
I opened with it.
And, I love it.
It didn't get a laugh. And the first tag didn't get a laugh, or the second, or the third. So now I'm four jokes in, and I've had no laughs.
Oh, no.
And on the way back home with my wife, I said, it couldn't have been as bad as it felt.
Uh-huh.
And it was worse.
Oh, Christ.
I got two applause breaks, no actual laughs.
Applause breaks work.
Yeah. Was one at good night?
Yeah. Was one please welcome and was the second one good night?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, the difference between stand-up and like sitcom writing, which is more what I'm in now, but they have a there's an anecdote. There was a famous episode of Newhart where they made a joke that in the writer's room they thought was going to kill. And
sure.
The punchline was like the Nakamura. It was something about some Japanese thing. And they thought it was so funny that they did callback after callback throughout the show. And so the first one bombs, but now you've got a script.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it's now called in any writer's room. You say, this is a danger of being a Nakamura, which means you keep calling back to a thing that you're sure is going to get a laugh and then doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And what show was this? This was Newhart?
Originally, it was a Newhart show, I think.
All the way back then.
It was called a Nakamura.
Talk about too soon.
Nakamura, yeah.
All right.
The title of the episode was Nakamura. Yeah. They really
they went the whole way. Wow, that's a great story. I've not heard that one. All right, let's start with well, first of all, Ryan, what do you believe? I know that you're.
I believe you should keep your mouth shut about it.
See, that's
my biggest thing. It doesn't.
We're
all going to die, and
you're going to see your parents in heaven.
We're all going to die, and it doesn't matter what you believe.
You don't care, do you?
It doesn't matter to me what you believe.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it should matter to you what I believe.
It doesn't. It doesn't really matter at all.
I was raised in a Presbyterian church until I was 8.
Yeah.
And the congregation all got together and decided they didn't like the pastor anymore and got rid of him. And the pastor was a good family friend and still is. My family kind of went, well, that's not very nice. And we don't like any of these people anymore. So we're not going to go back to that building. And
nice.
We never did. And after a few Sundays of staying at home, everybody kind of decided, yeah, this is good not to go.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go back. And we never did.
Just the whole family decided one day not to go back to church?
Yeah. After that one event, my mother, father, little brother didn't have much of a
say in it. So you
guys were
hanging on by a thread to start, if that was really thing.
You guys tried. They made a last-ditch effort.
Well, my mom's
Presbyterians never pursued anybody.
My mom's family is heavily, heavily Catholic. So, like, her sister is still in church multiple times a week. And then my dad's family, they're all in church every single Sunday in Indiana. But for whatever reason, little subset.
It sounds a little bit like your family was looking for an excuse. Like, they could, I don't like the way they painted the building. And
right.
You were ready to go.
Well, the odd thing is, like, when my dad is at home visiting his family, he'll still go to church. And I'm like, okay, well, look, do you want to go back to church? If you want to go back to church, go back to church.
I don't want to go anymore. This wafer tastes like shit.
That's what happened. My dad said one day to my mom, we were church-going family. My dad's like, I'm not going back to that place anymore. And he stayed home. And then she would drag me to church, and I'd go, well, you have to stay home. I want to stay home, too. Watch cartoons. Sunday morning, it was great. So one day, when I got a little bit older, I just demanded that I wasn't
going
to go.
I'm
not going back there ever again. I want to stay home.
How
and
old
watch
were you
TV.
When you made that demand on your mom?
I was a teenager.
And she went for it?
She couldn't do anything about it.
I'm impressed.
What's she going to do? Take me in there and I'll, you know, against my will?
Yeah.
As a teenager?
Yes.
For the good of your soul, yes.
That's what they do. John,
and I would have just taken it? Am I supposed to just take that?
No, you shouldn't. I'm impressed. I've heard a lot of stories about you and your mom, and I didn't realize that one. I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
I did not know that you stood your ground. John.
Yeah.
Which?
John Wing. I'm going to call you Wing, the Wingster.
Call me Wing.
Mr. Wingy.
Call me Wing. Don't call me Mr. Wingy. Mr. Wingy.
I'll go by JR.
The Wingster. JR. Do you really use that nickname?
Yeah.
That's really great. I never heard anybody accept that one.
I'm going to take you down, Jamie.
okay. What I'm going
to take your oil company and shove it up your ass.
I don't have.
Wait a minute. Whose phone is vibrating? That's there we go. Solved. So
it wasn't me.
Oh, really?
He who
you
felt
were saying it.
It
was you.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Mr. Wing.
So there I was, growing up in a small town in Antarctica.
Classic.
A very small town. No, Sarnia, Ontario. Mother and dad were Catholic. Mother Italian, dad Irish. Baptized, all the sacraments.
Yeah.
When I was 13, I became apprentice to the organist.
Wow.
And I was the number two organist from age 15 to 18.
Yeah.
I was also an altar boy.
Number two on what scale?
Did you play with your organ?
No.
Hello.
I still play with my organ. From what I learned in church. You know, I'm not gay, but I'm just looking for the love I never got from my priest. But anyway.
And then when you took the organ act on to Jay Leno, how'd that go?
No, it just... you know, I got to university at age 19, and yeah. I didn't have to go to church anymore, and I didn't go after that.
Yeah.
But I didn't stop being a Catholic. I went occasionally when I was home, I would go with my mother, but then I had kids.
Yeah.
And we baptized both the kids.
Yeah.
And it was funny, I was thinking this on the way over. I had a friend at the time, get out of my way. I had a friend at the time. When we had our first child, who was also raised Catholic and in the church and went to Catholic school, and he was saying, you know, he didn't have any kids. He was like, no, man, you're not a Catholic. How can you? You're not going to baptize. What are you, crazy? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I baptized both the kids. But then I got to start. It got to the point where I would take them to church, and I would have a hard time from screaming, this is bullshit,
right,
during the sermons.
What's the wife doing?
She's not a religious person.
Okay, so both of you, not religious, hauling kids to church.
She never went. I would go. I would go.
You're
alone.
The one. You're yeah. the one that with the Catholic
she went,
roots.
She went to the baptisms.
Wow.
But she never went to church.
Okay.
But anyway, now, 18 years later, I have two daughters, both baptized, both atheists.
Uh-huh.
And my friend, who insisted I was foolish to do that, has three children who all went to Catholic private school, and they go to church as a family of five every Sunday, contribute to the church where the kids go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Flanders family.
I guess. Well, he's actually a cool guy, but he married a Catholic. I was smart. I didn't. If
right.
I married a Catholic, it would have been much more difficult.
So the wife doesn't, is she atheist or just not a?
I would say more agnostic.
Agnostic, yeah.
She's not, she's not prepared to say there's nothing. We're both passionate about the great void.
That's fucking great description.
Passionate about the void.
Nice.
But
you more about her void than.
You're not married, are you, John?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, I'm passionate about her void. but you know, look, you teach your kids to think for themselves and to question, and once they start serious questioning, and this happens to a lot of Catholic kids too. Once they start questioning, they don't have any answers.
Right, right.
So, and I got very tired of their attitude toward gay people and other issues.
You mean the religion?
Yeah.
Not the kids.
Not the kids, no.
John Ross, J.R.
Sir, yes, sir.
I know you as an atheist. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, atheist seems to imply a knowledge that I don't know that I can claim to have. So agnostic feels more...
It's not accurate, by the way. You know that.
What isn't?
Atheist doesn't at all imply that. That's what people... That's a misnomer about atheists.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I might even be a theist in a way.
Interesting.
But it's so disconnected from any kind of actual religion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I believed in any kind of God, it would be the force that attracts an electron to a proton.
Well, and
so there is no consciousness there. There's no, you know, you don't pray to the force.
Well, there's such
that attracts.
It's so
molecules.
Telling that you would choose an electron and I mean, your example is based in science,
exactly,
and it belies what you really tend to how you really tend to think, which
yes.
is very very logically
right.
And so when you call yourself someone who might believe in well, who's who you a theist. When you say theist, it really just kind of shocks me. And that's where I get ardent. I get really...
Why does that shock you?
I know why, because he's a meist.
I like that.
Yes. So no. I just mean when you start getting into that world where you're describing this, quite frankly, this magic is what that is. At least that's what I think when I hear it. If it can't be measured, if it can't be explained, if it can't be understood scientifically, it's really just being made up in theory for the most part.
But it can be measured. The force that attracts an electron and a proton.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, that's like saying that that there's some amazing thing in magnets. The magnets. That's what.
Well, whether you choose to be amazed by it or not, the fact that an electron and a proton are attracted to each other.
Yeah, but I mean, you're using that as an example.
Magnets exist. I want to make that clear now.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is it's not mystical.
There is no magnets, and that's my final word.
Well, you prefaced it with I'm a theist, and then you used that example. Let me stop saying what you said, and you tell me what you mean.
Say I again, motherfucker. I dare you.
No, I don't mean to put anything in your mouth in mind. I want to know what you
mean.
I mean
to put things in your mouth.
Hello, Heather. Wait a minute.
Just said I again.
What time is it?
Oh. 1 minute late.
There's no...
I'm going to stop you. We're going to get right back to that after this, our first ever advertisement.
Love it.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode sponsored in part by Audible.com. You can get a free 14-day trial to Audible.com and a free audiobook by going to www.audibletrial.com. Again, that's www.audibletrial.com/AA. It's audibletrial.com. You know what? If you're typing the www anymore, don't go. Don't go. Don't type the double A's after the slash because you're a fucking moron, okay? You don't need www anymore. Anyway, you can also find a link to audible.com off of our website, ardentatheist.com. We're talking to Ryan Stout, John Ross, and John Wing, the two Johns and Ryan.
Woo!
We're back at it. All right. I'm sorry, JR.
That's quite all right. I guess what I'm saying is that I don't see any consciousness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to pray to. There's nothing that there is obviously
stuff
to me.
Stuff just happens.
That there is uncontrollable. That there is an order to our universe is undeniable.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's somebody doing that, but there is some force that is. And I'm not. And again, I'm not.
There's
saying
that F word again. It's the F word.
Well,
we understand almost all of it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, the only thing that we're really hunting for now, the Higgs boson, which will give us a—did I say it right? Higgs boson? That'll give us a better understanding of the origins of the universe in theory, and dark matter. These are the two things that we don't really have a complete grip on.
I think there's so much more we don't know that to even intimate that we are so close to knowing everything shows how much you don't know if you say that.
Wait a minute. I
might call myself a humanist.
Yeah.
You know, where I believe in human beings and what we do.
You believe in an afterlife?
No.
Yeah, okay. You're an atheist, you know.
I suppose that could be. But I was raised, and this can all be seen in my one-man show, which...
Really?
Yeah.
You're making this up.
No.
Where? What is it? Tell me about
it. I did it during the writer's strike because I couldn't do anything else.
Right.
So I wrote and performed a one-man show called The Cavalier Jew.
Okay.
And I put it up on YouTube.
Right?
And it's there.
Right?
On YouTube. And it's about my brother and I. He lives in Israel, and he is a hardcore Jew.
Yeah.
And I am essentially an atheist.
So people can go to YouTube, and they can search for Cavalier Jew and find it?
Yeah, I think so. It's
double
in
check
parts.
That, Heather.
Can they look up hardcore Jew?
Say it one more time,
it?
Please.
The Cavalier Jew. So I went to the University of Virginia, and I was the Cavalier mascot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The mascot?
Yes.
In a suit?
Yes.
What was the suit?
A cavalier.
Nice. Nice.
I was a roundhead. Thank you.
Video, huh? Is there a video of him?
And what are you writing for now?
The Life and Times of Tim on HBO.
Oh, brilliant. Cool.
Brilliant.
Cool. Wow, that's great.
Nice. Good show, man.
Whatever.
Indeed.
way to have a job, dude.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Come on, you're working. You were on the road. You had to cancel on me. Shut up, Wayne.
I just got back.
Where'd you go?
I was in Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Halifax.
Ah. So after Leno, you can only perform in Canada.
3 weeks. Most of my career is there.
Can I just? I was just
go ahead.
Modest, and I'm just realizing some of the people from The Life and Times of Tim will listen to this, and I don't want them to think that I don't love the show and love everyone there.
If you
and
think anybody I, that you yeah, work with oh, doesn't God. Understand
anything
I just,
that you do,
I said yeah. whatever, and I yeah. feel
you know, my yeah. ass is a little wet from your tongue, if yeah. you don't mind. Mm.
I know writers from Two and a Half Men, and they're worse, but for good reason.
You know, so. It's funny, I used to pray.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Do tell.
I would pray, I would say...
Did you pray right before the Leno set?
No.
Did
no,
I beat
no,
you
no.
to that one, JR?
No, in early in my career, I would pray things like, can you show me the direction?
Uh-huh.
And I will walk. Show me the path, I'll walk. I can get there if you show me, if you point the way.
How'd that work?
Great.
It helped.
Yeah.
It was okay. actually a GPS.
But it's more of a... But it's more of a... It's more of something you're doing... For yourself.
That's exactly right.
In truth,
it's internal motivation.
In truth, the God, if you want to talk about the God, is the good part of me,
uh-huh.
and the conscience of me. And right. if I'm, and really all I want to do is be a better self.
Yeah. And then when that little devil guy comes out on the shoulder,
the one who says, "No, go for it, fucker." No, I don't want to fuck. Yes, you do. Okay, I do. But
that's
I don't
the devil?
Want to.
Are you sure?
I think that's God.
Yeah. I think the devil's fooling with you, or God's fooling with you, if that's the devil.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I think it's all wonderful.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great voice, man.
I believe in God, but I believe that God is Bill Maher.
Wow. He doesn't even believe in himself.
Yeah, fucking Bill Maher, man. He's a great atheist and horrible skeptic. Are you kidding me? I mean, the anti-vaccination bullshit from him.
Oh, yeah.
And he still isn't backing down.
He went on the vaccination train?
I yeah. thought he backed down from that, no?
He has not backed down that I'm aware of.
I thought he did.
He also believes in ghosts. This is Penn Jillette's mouth I'm speaking from. He communicated to me. Penn told me that he had Maher tell him he believes in ghosts.
Well, in order that sounds like Maher was
but
fucking
in order to believe, in order to believe
be
in ghosts,
hearsay, hey.
you would probably have to have had an experience with one. Which one would think.
Yeah, well, I
and
I
if
guess.
You're high enough.
I know, right? Sure. Well, I mean, it's no different than praying and thinking you've asked for direction. And then when you, it's what you do. You ask for direction. When it doesn't work right, you don't blame who you prayed to. When it does work right, you credit who you prayed to.
Okay, I'm gonna relate this for as quickly as I can. I have a friend, an old high school friend, who is the head of Youth for Christ International.
That's where I was in Kansas City.
And he is a very cool guy.
Okay.
And I was chatting with him on the phone recently, and I said, after April the 17th, I have nothing for the rest of the year. I have a barren,
wide open.
Barren calendar, and I'm a little worried.
Canada's not booking.
I was wondering if you could, you know, pray that I get some gigs, just because I could use the help.
And your motivation was?
Anything
money.
That might work, I'm going for.
Okay, so you really meant it. You weren't just fucking with him.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
And
do you go to fortune tellers as well?
No, I don't.
Let's all pray for something today.
Yeah, good.
I'm not kidding.
Can we test this?
I've got it.
Okay.
Let's all pray that Glenn Beck hurts his foot.
That's a great idea. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do it after the next
specific.
Break.
Which foot?
Is it a toe?
The left foot or ankle? Okay. I would like it sprained.
What about okay?
But if this happens, the bridge or the
this
toe,
is going to be so great.
Beck hurt in bathtub fall. Wait a minute, that was us.
It's really great. Okay, no, so, back to it.
Yeah, so I asked him if he would pray for me, and 2 weeks later, I happened onto my email, and he was writing me from Hungary, where he was doing a mission, and he wrote me a little note from Hungary saying, "Here's what we're doing in Hungary, and." Oh, by the way, I've been praying for you to get some gigs every night, and I hope it's working.
Right.
And I had one other email.
Okay.
A gig.
Right.
Wow.
That's really great.
So, really great. You know, again, it's just nice. The serendipity of that was lovely, and I wrote him and I said thanks.
And you do see it as that. You
absolutely.
You're not,
yeah
okay.
There's a lot
sure.
of coincidence.
Did he ask
in
for
10%?
I mean, he could. No, he asked for 15%. He wanted the whole tithe.
You didn't tell me he was a Jew.
He's not a Jew.
No, he's a Youth for Christ guy.
I know.
Well, he could be a Jew.
Well, there are some.
A Jew Youth for Christ.
If you ask for
yes,
money,
Jews
a
for
a
Jesus.
Yeah. A Jew.
A Jew.
Yes.
Right.
I don't, I remember Youth for Christ. That was in my heyday, in my Christian heyday. I wanted to be an evangelist preacher. And I held Bible studies, and we invited people to come speak at our Bible studies. I lived up the street from the Flanderses, the Paines, we called them. It was just amazing. And I had about a 3-year period where I was just an insufferable dick with the Bible.
I really hate to disagree with you.
Yeah.
But it didn't end.
He still has the Bible.
You know, he did stop with the Bible, but the insufferable prick lived on.
But he hasn't stopped with the Bible. He's still here.
I stand corrected.
I find Emery sufferable.
Do you?
Oh, that's very nice.
Only because he's not a fool, and you don't suffer fools.
Very nice.
And I like pricks, so I'm cool with that.
Oh, Christ. Well, praying. Did you ever pray? Do you still pray?
My mother and aunt claim they pray for me, and I and my little brother, and we always go down. You do whatever you need to do for us, but we're not going to participate. We don't think that's right. Well, I know that I go through my day, and I believe in coincidences. I have a negative worldview, and I believe there are forces beyond my power that are out to get me.
Yeah,
and fucking with you left and right, aren't
they? Will add up, and I will get screwed over as a matter of coincidence.
They're called censors.
And exactly.
Or the IRS.
Yes.
And so I spent a lot of my day talking to a god going, what the fuck is this?
Is that how you talk to him?
What are you doing to me? Why do I have to be... I don't want to have to deal with this shit.
I don't think
who the fuck is in charge around here?
That doesn't qualify as prayer.
I'm more...
I'm pretty sure you're not going to get good results
I'm not going to take responsibility for the things that go wrong in my life. So I like to blame a higher power.
Okay, we're going to do two prayers today. The first prayer... is a genuine praying for Glenn Beck to, what'd you
hurt,
say?
Hurt his foot.
His left ankle.
Sprain his left ankle.
You feel like God is going, you know, much as I'd love to.
Okay, this is going to be a first on the Ardent Atheist. Everybody join hands. Join hands.
You mean we have to touch too?
Yeah, we're literally going to
pray
properly.
We're really going to get into this.
Oh, this bow your heads. Weird. No.
Shut up.
Come on.
Dear Lord.
Come on, power out there.
We're praying to you tonight. From the studios at New Dissident Radio.
Aww.
To ask you to find it in your heart to please hurt Glenn Beck's left ankle. A sprain would be ideal.
Yes, Jesus.
If it's something other than a sprain, we'll know you're speaking to us. We're not going to hold you to the specifics we're asking for because we're not worthy of understanding
just
your
powers.
Just like
all religious people.
Exactly.
We'll take whatever we can get.
So I'm going to say in Jesus' name because that's, you know, it's good as any of them. Please, Lord, we ask that you do what we're asking of you in this
prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, because we don't know if you had any other sons.
Exactly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Do we eat now?
Oh, God, as soon as you turn on AOL tomorrow morning, Beck hurt in bathtub fall. I tell you, it's going to happen.
I just think it's hilarious that you have no Twitter and you're turning on AOL. That just speaks volumes to where you are.
That's where I get my email. Is Debbie Boone here with my blowjob yet? I was promised some things for doing this.
Oh,
did
man.
Anyone else feel anything?
Yeah, I got a little hard.
I got a little hard,
you know,
too.
You know, I felt something. A little giddy and ridiculous. That was fun.
You know something? I'll tell you.
That was awesome.
After many years of... after 5 years of self-imposed sobriety, I went to AA.
Okay.
And when I went to AA, I discovered we do the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meetings.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a religion.
Well... Sir, lots of people treat it as one, but as religions go, it's a pretty benign one. It doesn't hurt a lot of people.
Well, except that the government is illegally imposing it on people, but go ahead.
Okay. I didn't. All right.
Unconstitutionally all right. Oh,
fair,
imposing it. Yeah.
Fair enough. If it is a religion, that's fair.
That's my complaint. But go on.
But there was, in saying the Lord's Prayer, having learned it by rote when I was a kid,
right?
I realized there was a line in it that if you take that line out, the whole prayer is moot bullshit.
What is it?
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
You remove that line.
Then why pray? If you can't forgive others for what they do to you, then what's the point of, you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm.
But I was fascinated by the fact that it took a group of people reciting it without any, I saw, religious agenda.
Right.
For me to learn the prayer, it's to really learn it.
Right.
And I've asked a lot of religious people, what's the line in that prayer that if you take it out, the prayer becomes meaningless? And they all know it.
Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows that that is, they all think about it and say, okay, this is the line. In there. And I've never had a religious person get it wrong.
Wow. That's incredible. I never thought of that.
You know, so much of what religion is attempting, I totally get.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Well, the golden rule.
Love
the
your
golden
neighbor.
Rule right. on the surface, and for those of us with children, do you have kids, Ryan?
No.
For those.
No, what are you fucking kidding me?
No. His face was
do I
great.
Look stupid different and broke podcast. To you.
Crying out loud.
All right. So if you want to have a good set on TV,
bring them
you want to have
this
no
world.
Kids.
Ugh.
So, the golden rule on the surface sounds like a really great idea.
Yeah.
But much like you're talking about, you remove this one line. When you really look carefully at the golden rule, it's kind of a horrible idea. In fact, it's a horrific idea.
It's about revenge.
Well, it's not about revenge.
Is it?
No.
Wait, that's not it?
No. Not at all.
No, that's not the golden rule.
You've jumped into it.
Don't get mad,
early.
Get even is not the golden rule.
I love JR's trying to figure it out. What we're talking about is do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the basic. That's it. That's the tenet of the golden rule.
What's bad about that?
I know, right?
Well, it's only bad in terms of anal sex.
Before it makes miserable.
Maybe.
You're very, John Wing is very close. It makes miserable both the sadist and the masochist. And what I mean is it suggests that you shouldn't consider what other people necessarily want, but you should put it through your own filter. And let me finish. And that makes the golden rule a tribal way of thinking, an in-group way of thinking. And it doesn't instill in us something that's very important that I think, for example, my version of the golden rule, I call the platinum rule, does instill in us if we use it this way. And that is, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. That implies that you need to find out what they want. That implies not everyone's the same. That implies that we need to fucking communicate and understand people who are different than us because everybody's different.
That's I true. Love that.
That's a bit of a semantic
I'm gonna follow
argument. I mean,
go ahead.
The basic idea is treat others as you would want them to treat you.
You and selfish
means,
bastard.
That means considerate. That means I would want people to be considerate of me,
okay.
And I would be considerate of them.
Right.
You're just making the actual legal language to sound. I mean, if you want it to flow, I think it
but
sounds okay.
But it still hurts you say, especially with religion, you greet someone in a religious way and they're totally offended by that, Or
but that, then you don't know. I mean, you would want... The golden rule isn't saying treat everyone exactly the way you treat everyone else. I mean, it just means be considerate. I think that's all it means.
I think most people do take it that way.
Yeah.
But I do. Right. And I acquiesce at least on that point. I got to do this, don't I? Yeah. Sorry.
Time.
We'll be right back in just a minute. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's show is brought to you in part by Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh.
Westboro, destroying religion one protest at a time. We're talking to Ryan Stout, John Ross, and John Wing. We were talking about the golden rule. Hi, thanks.
We're against carpet. God hates shags.
Okay. Will you write for the show? Because
sure.
We need more of those. Those are great.
You know, I did a set in Winnipeg about religion.
Yeah.
I was 10 minutes to topic, how religion gives you lines, and can you cross those lines? And at the end of the set... I had God recite the Ten Commandments to me. Well,
yeah.
Jesus, actually. Jesus recited the Ten Commandments because I'm up in heaven, and he's trying to figure out whether I should be let in. And I got a 1 out of 10.
You got 1 out of 10?
Well, I've never killed anybody.
That's it.
And every other one of them I'd broken pretty much with impunity.
Right.
And at one point he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I said, well, yeah, you got me there.
Right.
Right out of the box.
Right.
First one, I had an affair with a married woman when I was 17. And then I said, oh, really? You sent her to tempt me? Wow. Thanks. She was hot.
Nice.
But at the end I said, heaven is literally 2 nuns, 3 popes, Helen Keller, and hell is the biggest titty bar in the universe.
I mean, it's just, that's hell?
Yeah.
See, I have a possible theory that if God exists, if Satan exists, if hell and heaven are real, if they are, and it's true that Satan is the great deceiver, if that's all true, then the God that everybody, for the most part, the God or gods that everybody is worshiping is really Satan. And Satan is actually God, because the only...
Satan deceives...
The greatest deception of all is to convince humanity that you're God when, in fact, you are Satan.
Yeah.
There's no greater deception than
this. This is a Kaiser Soze.
This is Herman Hesse's Damien.
I just dropped my coffee mug and it shattered. Oh.
Looking around the room, everything I've just said is on the walls.
Well, but you're talking about the Ten Commandments, and that yeah. I mean, it's pretty great about what Bill Maher points out is that really, if you were to make that list today, like only two of them are actually illegal things. Like if you were going to say, what are the top 10 things you don't do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of them would
and
come
rape,
up.
And rape isn't on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, rape, child
that's my
molestation.
Favorite.
Sure. Well, the first four.
Favorite? No. Well, the fact that it's not on there, not. It's, yeah. it's my favorite thing to say. Hey, rape's not on the Ten Commandments. Right. Ah.
No, rape is
just
her favorite.
Like
coveting.
She backed down
coveting,
from that moment, but she shouldn't have.
You know.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I'm sorry.
You know,
the first four aren't even really commandments. They're just illustrating what a horrific person God is, or entity.
Well, jealous.
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 And have no gods before. And I mean, it's just embarrassing.
Well, he's acknowledging there are a lot of other gods, isn't he?
Yeah. Indeed, he might be.
Or that we perceive them.
If any of them were real.
Ignore the God behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that God.
Oh, man.
They are known as good deed doers.
But well, I'm a big believer in just psychology, the human psychology. I think we're biological creatures that we developed emotional intelligence, and we don't know how to handle that. We don't know how to describe our feelings. Feelings are they're not tangible, so we try to do it with music and poetry and art and religion.
Right.
And ultimately, we're all just trying to shoot for one emotion at all times, which is happy.
Right.
And you know that thing that they found, like if you just smile for 10 minutes solid, you'll immediately be in a better mood. Like I feel like that's what church is. Right. I feel like, oh, if a whole bunch of people are in a room together and everybody's happy, everybody's going to leave a little bit happier. That's not the Lord. That's human psychology.
That's not
just
the church
coming
I went
together.
To. That that's is right. not the church I went to. The church I went to, everybody was, I looked around, everybody was crying. Oh, help me, Jesus, Lord, save me, help me, help me, Jesus.
Oh,
Lord.
You're evangelical.
Psychologically, they could have felt better after that. Like, you know, it was cathartic and it was a release.
He's
of
right.
Sorts.
That is what they're doing, though. You know that, Heather.
But yeah, but sit there and watch my mom. No, I knew my mother was in pain when she was actually sitting there next to me praying and crying. So I assumed everyone else had the same situation. You know, you go to church and you're crying because you need help.
Yeah,
I mean,
look, it wouldn't be so popular if the shit didn't work.
Right,
I mean, for
right.
a lot of people, it works amazing. And you know,
it's mass hypnotism.
But look, there's a lot of great things about religion. There's a lot of bad things about it. And part
do you
of
think
what
the bad
do,
way outweigh the good real quickly?
I do.
Okay, I do.
But
the bad outweighs the good. I agree with that.
I do. Yeah. But you know, and it comes from an older time when they needed it, and we lived in smaller, and we didn't live in a global community, and all these different things.
It starts as a control thing, and it becomes a money thing.
Yeah,
they didn't realize it would make so much money off the top.
But it has a lot of great, wonderful things about it, and part of you know, I think this is a pretty good book, Good Without God.
Did you bring that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And. A lot of what you do, especially after you have kids, I find, if you don't want to do religion, you've got to find other things that take the place of that.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's interesting. You know,
for me,
hard.
It was hookers.
That's very difficult.
Huh? What? Nothing.
What?
Well, you know, just as a quick example, you know, one of the things that religion gives you is community.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to be without.
Yeah.
And it's hard to build it without something to build it around.
Right.
And if you don't want to use church, you've got to find something
else.
Well,
one of the things that atheists and agnostics and humanists and non-believers get accused of, I've been arguing with someone on my wall all week about this, and that is that the atheist groups that get together, they try to suggest, the believers and the like, they try to claim that we're just as dogmatic, religious is the term that this girl on my wall was using, as religious people when we gather. And she's talking about group speak and group think and how it's just as dangerous, and the argument that atheism leads to horrific things too. Hitler, of course, wasn't atheist, but
it's
a lot of people.
It's a gateway belief.
That's what they try
the
to do.
The gateway to hell.
But that is why atheists get together. That's why we talk about the things that we've discovered, what we think, how we feel about these things.
Yeah.
Because
you want community.
Yeah, community works. It really feels nice.
Yeah. I'm a big believer that any group that ever exists just has bad in it. You know, because individuals
well
vie
studies
for power
the Milgram study, you know, the study of the prisoners that we know about groupthink and how it turns into us against them and
that sort of thing. Right.
Even in comedy, we get that where the guys in fucking I was up in San Francisco when Jake Johansson appeared to do a set, and everybody standing at the back. Was it Jake? No, it wasn't Jake. It was Stephen Wright before he was well known. And all these comics. And there's no clickier motherfucking group than San Francisco.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
nuts up there.
I started up
Cunts
there.
Cunts beyond measure. And I'm standing at the back
of
the room.
Those are my people.
Yeah. I'm standing at the back of the room.
I'd
they
still
are
like
all
to get a gig there. So I like the San Francisco community.
It's not
okay.
close enough to Canada. I'm sorry. They're all standing at the back of the wall. I'll never forget this moment. It was
judging.
Really, yeah. Arms crossed and talking to each other like, who the fuck is this,
guy?
And he takes the stage and he's deadpan. And the second he says, hi, how are you? Everybody's like, oh, Jesus Christ. A fucking
I wrote that.
I'm not kidding. And his demeanor just is so different that they were just, it was really palatable.
Right.
And there was a lot of talk about how great he was. So that made it even harder for him. And go ahead.
I will defend it just for 1 second, and that is he was an outsider.
That's what it is.
But that group along the back, mm-hmm. you know, he was, you know, he if he had been one of them, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would have. They were their own community, and he was from outside it. We do get kind of
that's
a group
right.
well, that's
mentality.
It.
It's a community.
But well, this is an illustration of what he's talking about. It's that group mentality.
But what
but
you're
there's good
about
in it too.
It's not a clique. It's a tribe.
It's a tribe. It is a tribe.
He was from a different tribe. That's all.
It was pretty beautiful. The end of the story goes like this. The first joke out of his mouth was, I went into a 7-Eleven. And even more of the, God, you've got to be shitting me, a fucking 7-Eleven joke. Sign on the door, 24 hours, not in a row. What? And then it all of a sudden, they want to be in his group in the instant that he delivered that punchline.
And they let him in. I mean, yeah. you know, I don't, people are people. And look, I'm a humanist. And I think at the end of the day, you got to be, if, you know, either we're all bad or we're all, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
No.
I'm not being very eloquent about
no,
it.
No, I don't mean to suggest actually anything really horrific about that other than to illustrate that groupthink works on all groups. It really does work on all groups,
right.
I think, to varying degrees.
Well,
what you're talking about
is all, okay.
Well, no. I just want to say you'll never see comics actually take a guy out and kill him because of that. You know what I mean? And religions historically do that
now,
shit.
Now, burlesque troops are different.
But you're,
we rip their violent. We rip their panties off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
Then we make them eat it.
You know, eat it? Eat the panties?
You know, we just humiliate them a little.
In Toronto in the 80s, early 80s when I started, there was one guy who was number one guy. And if he laughed at something you said, you were over the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he laughed in a very particular way to let you know he liked something. So you would do a joke and you would hear from the back, whack.
Oh, no.
And that lets you know.
Who was it?
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald.
Oh, sure. We all know Mike.
Did you ever work Nashville and have, I'm going to not think of this guy's name. Who was the guy riding on the motorcycle in Raising Arizona and shooting everything? And
Randy Cobb.
Randall Tex Cobb sitting in the back of the room every Thursday that I would go into Nashville.
Never worked there.
It was fucking incredible. Here's his laugh. I have to push the mic away. I'm not exaggerating this laugh, by the way. Not even remotely.
a seal slap.
Well, and it would stop as abruptly as it began. It was the weirdest sound. And my first time there, I thought, someone's fucking with me. But then someone explained after the set that it messed my setup a little the first time it happened to me. And then
laughs always messed your setup.
I wasn't used to the laughter.
And that's
what
why
is that strange
in,
noise people
why
are making?
They like me?
Why I'm doing radio for a couple hundred people.
But you're exactly right. I think a lot of comics have that. This is a signal that I'm sending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm so jaded, I'm not going to laugh, but I got to make this noise because I appreciate that and I need him to know. I think a lot of comics
right.
do that.
I'm a loud laugher. I like to support the arts and the mind of comics.
I can stop a show.
Yeah? Are you a loud laugher?
I can, if really, I John? Really, my, I can fake laugh, stop a show. I can fake laugh and have everybody look at me. But my real, if you really get me, the show will have to stop for a moment.
My real,
they dubbed Wing in Cape Fear for Robert De Niro.
You know, very few people know that.
Yeah, that's a good piece of trivia.
I sit in the audience and try to, you know, when the comedy's good and the audience isn't very giving.
Oh yeah,
I
audience
try to
with
be
your
a
laughter.
Catalyst. And
I'm sorry.
You know,
come on,
get on board, everybody.
No. You know, at a set,
really?
This is great. At a set in Winnipeg, my friend Elvira Kurt. I don't know if you know her. Gay comedian. I don't think that's necessary.
I mean, if you want to point that out.
All right. She's a wonderful gay comedian. She was in the middle of her set, and she did a joke she thought was going to get a laugh, and it didn't. And she stopped, and she looked at the audience, and she said, "You know, folks, we're taping this for television, so you guys really got to fucking pull it together, okay, because you're giving me nothing."
That's great.
And it took a lot of balls, but she pulled it off. Right. She got them back, finished the set, and I was really – it was really ballsy.
I think it's an important part of the story that she was gay, because now, as comics, we all know that she's funny. Mm. Yeah, so –
interesting.
What?
Nothing.
What? Gay people are funny.
The funniest female comics, lesbians, without question.
Hey, we're late.
Oh, sorry.
We're late.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Ardent Atheist is sponsored in part by Audible.com. You can get a free 14-day trial to Audible.com and a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/AA. Again, that's audibletrial.com/AA. You can also find a link to audible.com on our ardentatheist.com website. We're talking to Ryan Stout, John Ross, John Wing, and I think the topic was lesbian comedians?
I had sex with one. What? No, sorry, wait a minute.
Who hasn't?
You know, one of the things that I hear a lot is, and this one stuns the shit out of me, is when people say, "I don't believe in God, but I really envy people. I kind of wish there was a God. I wish there were. I wish I could believe in
sure.
God."
Sure. Yeah.
You guys share that, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What?
I mean,
John doesn't. Wing, no.
It's like
you think
it's
this
like
is it, and when it's done, that's fine.
It's like envying people in their magical beliefs, envying their faith in something that.
I guess I don't envy the belief, but I think there is. Can be a nice the sense of community, again, the belonging and the, you know, all the different things that can go along with that. And also a sense of not worrying, sleeping well at night. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that,
sure.
I think people
want to go back to when they didn't know any better. You know
sure.
what I mean?
I sleep better knowing somebody's not watching me put shit in my ass.
Huh? Mm.
Huh?
I do watch you put shit in your ass.
Yeah, I was
going to say. What are you talking about?
I sleep like a baby
then
after that.
Stop filming it.
We really have to do a video podcast because the funny was in the face on that one. Yeah, no, honestly, though, I mean, the whole God idea is horrifying to me. I don't want to be a servant.
But no. Not to disagree with what you said because obviously you believe that, but it's not the God idea.
Yeah.
It's the way the idea has been presented. It's the way it's been used. It's not the God idea. It's the way we took it. Like, I was reading the Monty Python book last night, and they were talking about...
Good source material.
They know everything.
They were talking about Life of Brian and how it wasn't blasphemous because they weren't talking about God. And you have religion starting wars for 2,000 years over the interpretation of what a guy said.
Right.
That's what religion is,
and then you can put a period there because the rest is... I mean, there's no magic. It's just all made up bullshit.
But I didn't think we were talking about religion. I thought we were talking about belief in a God. Which is different. I mean, going back to that idea that circumstantially, sometimes things don't work out. Sometimes people have shitty lives because different factors that were out of their control just didn't come together for them.
Right.
And the idea that you had to live in this world and live through that and that's it. You're done.
So you're talking about John Wing's set on Leno right now? Is that what?
What? Who said that?
You should get to go to heaven after that. Yeah. You know, isn't that a
nice
thought?
Now you're just gloating after your set. That's what you're doing. Anyway, I don't think that's very Christian of you.
Instead of 72 virgins, could I get 72 MILFs?
Yes.
Of course. Because
I never thought of that.
I don't want to have sex with 72 women who are crying, "Why are you hurting me?"
Can we mix and match?
There's something weird. There's something weird about a guy your age into MILFs. I mean, that's not weird. That's what you expect.
What's weird about being into women my own age?
I know. What's the matter with you? You're not going to be shaved. Are you nuts?
Exactly. That would be a great New Yorker cartoon with a guy going, "Can I get 8 virgins? 42. how many is it? It's like getting bagels. How many is that? What am I up to?
Like donuts, like you're ordering donuts.
Yeah. Really funny.
And we girls, what do we get?
I don't know. Whatever you want.
We get to be happy that we're married
to have
you.
Sex
Warren Beatty in his fucking prime. How about that?
Is that what the young girls get? Yeah.
I don't know.
He's still getting the hot chicks.
Us.
I asked my wife last night because we were watching this Warren Beatty movie, and his looks were impressive, almost past 60.
Yeah, he had impressive looks.
Yeah.
Now, the female.
She said Brad Pitt when he was young was about the sexiest thing she's ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look at me. This is what she fucking settled
you
for.
You shut up. You're attractive.
But they're attracting more female martyrs, you know. Now, what are they promising
them?
What's up with that? What are they promising
them? And some of them are very young, too. Young girls. Young girls.
Can I say, for the record, if you read the Quran, it doesn't say they're girls.
What?
It doesn't say they're girls. It just says
virgins. But a girl doesn't want a virgin.
Oh, you're right.
It does not specify. Yeah. No, I like to imagine a bunch of guys flying planes into buildings and then showing up going, are you kidding? These are nerds. I'm not fucking 72 nerds. What's the matter with you?
If you're a girl and you've got 72, you're going to need all 72 if they're all virgins. It's like, you know, next, Jesus, next, come on.
Next.
If you die as a MILF, then you get your 72 virgins. You're really happy.
Do any of you have any self-control? Okay, you stand over there.
Give me a cigarette, somebody.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. No, I don't hope there's a God. I don't hope that there's a heaven for 72. It's all so fucking...
Randy Thomas says that
cartoony.
Shit was hilarious.
Randy Thomas on your wall?
That shit was hilarious.
What else has been going on the wall? Are there folks talking there?
Yeah, they're talking about butt plugs and MILFs. I don't know.
Oh, Christ. Butt plugs. No help.
Yeah,
we never even got into butt plugs.
They have their own damn imaginations. They can do what they want.
John only said he would be here if indeed there were butt plugs.
No pun intended, but you gave them the opening.
God
damn it. That's why he's the writer.
He says, Scott Milling says the girls' families get the money. When the girls are more.
There you go.
Oh, is that really true?
Yeah.
I don't know. He just said that.
First you get the money. Then you get the power. Then you get the virtue. Then you get the virtue.
Nice impression. Oh, date you a little, but goddamn, that's a good one.
Well.
What amazes me about today is sitting across from Ryan Stout, and it's so obvious that you don't believe in any of the bullshit.
He's got this face like, what funny. The fuck is this shit?
I don't believe in anything.
Yeah, I don't think you believe in anything. That's my theory. I think that you just don't want to say anything out loud because you got a family that's going to completely...
No. I think I was pretty clear. There's just a negative worldview happening, and I talked to my therapist about it today, and that's just how it is. And the idea that... people are going to live their own lives, and we're all going to live and die with our stupid ideas, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I won't debate people. I'm not going to fight with you.
Yeah.
Because that's an excellent philosophy.
Again,
you're wrong. You're so wrong.
That's my biggest anger or my biggest thing against a lot of atheists is that they want to convert people over to their thinking. I'm like, it's not going to matter.
No question about it. No question about it.
Like,
Bill Maher talks a lot about how, you know, there's minorities in America, and atheists are a huge minority, but they don't have any power. And I'm like, yeah, they shouldn't. Atheists shouldn't have any power, but Christians should have less power, and, you know, everybody else should have less power. I want all the religious people to have the same amount of power as the atheists, but that means everybody brings it down, and not atheists get more power.
It's not about power, in my opinion. It's about reason. It's about logic, and it's about making the world a better place to live and stop legislating shit like... stem cell research, woman's reproductive rights, the list goes on and on.
When
you see ardent atheists, as I call myself, this is why. It's not because I want to change somebody's mind. It's because I want people to stop encroaching on the rights of other human beings because their fairy god faggot is in my fucking face.
Get your religion out of my womb.
So honestly, that's what it's for me.
Go to your womb.
Go to your womb. Can I go to her womb? I want to go to your womb.
I am in my womb all the time. It's not very...
it's really damp.
It's crowded in there as it is.
What's this stuff peeling off the wall here? This is horrifying.
Ew, no.
You know, I had a therapist once.
Yeah.
Many years ago, when I was in my 20s, I had a great therapist. And one day
I
said...
You came from the therapist tonight.
I said to him, I had this weird dream. I was attacked by like 25 puppies. And they got me on the ground. And he said, were they hurting you? And I said, no, they just wouldn't let me go. You know, they kept licking me and jumping all over me. And he said, it's a sex dream. And I said, bullshit, it's a sex dream. It's not a fucking sex dream. And he said, no, it's textbook. It's a sex dream. Yeah. You know, so that was when I started fucking puppies. And, you know, hanging out at the animal shelter. You got one nobody wants?
You know, there wasn't anybody in here that didn't know that you were headed for that. Yeah. Just for the record.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, cats have there those hooks no, on their penis. I don't know if you've encountered the cat with I'll never forget the night I found that out.
I can't do it on cruise ships. There was no other place for me to do it.
They do late night shows on the.
You can't do a puppy fucking joke.
You can.
You can't do a puppy fucking joke even on the late night show.
All you have to do is say, started making love. No, it doesn't work.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck. So,
I don't think.
And
you know,
for the record, I've never fucked a puppy.
You may step down.
I wish I could join you.
You know, I don't.
I don't.
Envy.
Say I don't again, motherfucker.
Say it again, motherfucker.
My brain doesn't work. Envy religious people or religion, but I do like magic, not in the Siegfried and Roy kind of way, but you know,
the Penn and Teller style.
I think all of us as creative people have felt that the muse, where like when things come to you, when it's clicking. I mean, I play baseball still.
Called bourbon.
and you know, I believe in the church of baseball. I mean, when I'm there, I feel it. My body can do things that I can't explain, you know, how I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like hitting an 80-mile-an-hour slider is not something I can really logically do, but somehow my body can do that. And there's a joy in that that is somehow magical and somehow other and not just pure logic and pure. I like the magic.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I get the same sense when I look at photographs from the Hubble telescope. I get the same sense when I read about studies
when
they're looking for the
theism. There's something, some awe, some magic, something greater that isn't just pure understanding. There's something deeper.
It's in your mind.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's in my
mind. Yeah.
That's where most,
yeah.
I mean, that's where it's concentrated, but it's in all of our minds and it's between us too. There's a lot of crazy shit going on.
That's why so many people are susceptible to a religious approach.
I believe in spirituality. I think there is some thing happening between us all.
There is. It's called human interaction, and it's profoundly beautiful.
It's profound.
Really beautiful.
It really is.
I agree with you
Thanks.
On the profundity of it. I just don't think it's magic. That's all. Absolutely.
Those are just words.
Listen, we got to wrap it up, boys.
Oh.
And I can't.
We're just getting started.
I know, it was getting deep at that moment.
Sniffle, glurk.
I want to thank my guests, Ryan Stout, John Ross, and John Wing, for being here today. I want to remind everybody that we're going to go to Toy afterwards if you'd like to join us. Don't come down and be a dick. Come down and be cool. And I'd also like to remind everybody that we just prayed that God would hurt Glenn Beck's ankle. Minor, just a minor.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wouldn't it be horrible?
No, nothing bad.
No, it's a very minor injury.
Limping for
a
couple
of days. Tops.
Well, we didn't pray for it to get reported.
That's it. Mm. That's it.
Oh, listen, Glenn Beck falls and hurts himself, it'll be reported.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for coming. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
Woo!
Hooray!
And New Dissident Radio.
Hurrah!
That's it for episode 10. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Today's music, courtesy of the sound editor, of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson.
Tune in next week, where our guests will be Chris Porter, Dean Cameron, and a woman who stopped reading tarot cards for money over an episode of Penn and Teller's bullshit. We'll be talking about gypsy scams and the effect atheism has on art. And don't forget, you can get a 14-day free trial to audible.com and a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/AA. Come join us at Toy on Sunset. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Thank Jeebus.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.